ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 4 பாதா 3 அர்ச்சிராத்யதிகரணம். அர்ச்சிராதினா தத் பிரதிதேகே. வாய்வதிகரணம். வாயும் அப்தாது அவிசேஷ விசேஷாபியாம். தடிததிகரணம். தடிதா அதிவருணா சம்பந்தாத். ஆதிவாகிகாதிகரணம். ஆதிவாகிகாக தல்லிங்காத். உபய வியாமோகாத் தத் சித்தேகே. வைத்யுதேனைவ ததஹ தச்ருதேஹே. காரியாதிகரணம். காரியம் பாதரிஹி அஸ்ய கத்யுபபத்தேஹே. விசேஷிதத்வாச்ச சாமீப்யாத்து தத்வியபதேசஹ. காரியாத்யயே தது அத்யக்ஷேண சஹ அதஹ பரம் அபிதானாத். ஸ்மிருதேஸ்ச பரம் ஜைமினிஹி முக்கியத்வாத். தர்ஷனாச்ச நச்ச காரியே பிரதிபத்யபிசந்திஹி. வி சா அப் டு திஸ் 14th சூத்ரா ஆர் தி தேர்ட் பாதா இன் த லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ். நவ் லெட் அஸ் கோ டு தி நெக்ஸ்ட் அதிகரணம். அப்ரதீக ஆலம்பன அதிகரணம். அப்ரதீக ஆலம்பன அதிகரணம். அப்ரதீக ஆலம்பனாத் நயதி இதி பாதராயணஹ. உபயதா அதோஷாத் தத் க்ரதுஸ்ச. அப்ரதீக ஆலம்பனாத் நயதி இதி பாதராயணஹ. உபயதா அதோஷாத் தத் க்ரதுஸ்ச. 15th சூத்ரா 3rd பாதா 4th சாப்டர் 532nd ரன்னிங் பிரம்மசூத்ரா. நவ் ஐ வில் கிவ் யூ எ ஜெனரல் இன்ட்ரொடக்ஷன் டு திஸ் அதிகரணம். This is the final adhikaranam of the third pada with 2 sutras. And the topic of discussion in this adhikaranam is the word occurring in Chandogya Upanishad, the one we had analyzed in the previous adhikaranam, which is 4th pada and the previous adhikaranam 4.5, 15.5 of Chandogya Upanishad, 4th chapter. 15th section, 5th mantra. We have seen this mantra earlier. I will read it again. Tat purushaha amanavaha saha yenan brahma gamayati yesha deva pato brahma pata yetena pratipadhyamana imam manavam avartam na avartante na avartante. Here the statement is saha yenan brahma gamayati. Saha means the special messenger. Who is the special messenger? The Amanava Purushaha. Gamayati. Gamayati means leads to Brahman. Brahman we have to supply. We have analyzed the meaning of the word Brahman in the last class itself, which has been established as Brahma Loka. Brahman we have analyzed in the last class and established the meaning as Brahma Loka. He escorts. Who escorts? The Amanava Purushaha. He escorts the Upasaka. Yenan. Yenan here means Upasaka, refers to Upasaka. So the context is what? Upasaka traveling through Shukla Gati, and that too Upasakas who have completed most of the 13 stations. All those stations and all we discussed elaborately in the last class. So the 10th one is in those various stations. The 10th station is Vidyut Loka. Vidyut Loka is, I told you, the lightning. And the Upasakas have assembled in Vidyut Loka, and that is the meeting place of all these Upasakas. And the Amanava Purusha came from Brahman to Brahma Loka. Amanava Purusha carries the Upasaka to Brahma Loka. And what is the controversy here? Yenan Upasakan refers to Upasakan. Do you mean all the Upasakas without any exception, or is there some division in that? Are all the Upasakas taken to Brahma Loka from this Vidyut Loka, or is there any division, is the question. And Purvapakshi takes the stand that it is all the Upasakas, they will be taken to Brahma Loka. And he gives a proof also. But the Siddhant is, they take the stand, no, not all the Upasakas go to Brahmaloka. And his answer is no for that. And most of the Upasakas will be taken to Brahmaloka, while some will not be taken to Brahmaloka, and they will go to some other lower lokas. Brahmaloka is the highest loka. Others will be taken to some other lower lokas. And that loka will be above Swarga loka, because we have to understand all these conditions, because they have already come up to Vidyut loka. So that loka will be above the Swarga loka, but below Brahma loka. That is where they will be taken, some people, some of those Upasakas. There they will take the appropriate body in that loka. They don't experience sukham, dukkham and all those anubhavas. And after going to some other loka, start experiencing sukha, dukkha, anubhava in the lokas they reach, lower lokas compared to Brahma loka. Therefore, the topic is whether all upasakas go or some only will go to Brahma loka is the topic. And in the previous adhikaranam, what we did? We discussed the destination. But here, the discussion is the traveler. The difference between the previous adhikaranam and this. The previous adhikaranam, we talked about the destination, all those various stations and all we mentioned. But here, in this adhikaranam, the discussion is the traveler. All upasakas who travel through Shukla Gati will go to Brahma Loka is stated in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And we Siddhantis will say, all will not go to Brahma Loka, but we say some of them will go to Brahma Loka, while others will go to other Lokas. And take the form which suits the lower Lokas to experience Sukha, Dukha, Anubhava. It is lower than Brahma Loka, something superior to Swarga Loka, but inferior to Brahma Loka. And all karmis, you know, all these people who are all karma-oriented people, all these karmis, who have not practiced upasana will go to Swarga Loka. All those, even big, all the people who do yajnas and all, many of them, if they have not practiced upasana, they will go to Swarga, Punya Loka, Swargadi Lokas. And those who have done upasana along with that will go to Loka higher than Swarga Loka. Shukla Gadi take them to a Loka superior to Swarga Loka. Anyway, the net result is what? All upasakas will not go to Brahma Loka is our contention. This is the general introduction to this particular adhikaranam. And in this sutra that we read, the first portion of this sutra talks about the specific people who go to Brahma Loka. And the Purvapakshi, he quoted both Shruti and Smriti statements and supporting logic also, or the principle also, for his argument. And the first part says of the sutra, who will go to Brahma Loka? And the second part answers the argument, and the third part gives the supporting logic or principle. And Vyasacharya divides all the Saguna Brahma Upasakas into two types. All the Saguna Brahma Upasakas, Vyasacharya divides them into two types. And the first group, they are called direct Upasakas. I will explain all this. And the direct Upasakas are those who meditate upon Sagunam Brahman as described in the Shastras. These words are important, direct Upasakas. The direct Upasakas, they are those people who meditate upon Sagunam Brahman as described in the Shastras. So first is direct Upasana. And there is a second type, and they are those people who do not directly meditate upon Sagunam Brahman, but they meditate upon a symbol, an alambanam. They don't think of Hiranyagarbha or Ishwara, but they focus on what? Salagrama or Shivalinga. So they invoke Hiranyagarbha in that symbol, in that Salagrama. In Veda, many such upasanas are mentioned, and they are all called Pratika Upasanas. All these I have mentioned earlier in several other occasions. And in this upasana, the meditator indirectly thinks of Sagunam Brahman, and therefore no Nirguna Brahman, don't bring it. Sagunam Brahman. So the meditator indirectly thinks of Sagunam Brahman, and therefore they are called secondary Saguna Brahma Upasakas. Because they are indirectly thinking. First one, primary Upasakas, and second one is indirect or secondary Upasakas. And we have huge list of such Upasanas and the Upasakas also. In the Upanishads, so many places. in Chandogya Upanishad, particularly 7th chapter, section 1 to 14, Nama Brahma Upasana, Vag Brahma Upasana, Mano Brahma Upasana, Vayu Brahma Upasana, Jala Brahma Upasana, so many of them are all said. And they meditate on fire, and in fire, Brahman is invoked. And these are called Pratika Upasanas, using fire as a pratikam, as a symbol. They are not primary or direct Upasanas. And they are indirect or secondary Upasana. Indirect Upasakas are called Pratika Upasakas. And Vyasacharya uses the word Pratika Alambanas. And this is the name of the Upasakas who practice secondary or indirect Upasana. What should be the direct meditators they should do? Vyasacharya makes it very easy. And he adds an A before Pratika. Pratika, Apratika Alambanas. He calls them Apratika Alambanas. They are direct Upasakas. And Vyasacharya says both primary Upasakas and secondary Upasakas will go through Shuklagati. Whether they do Upasana directly on Sagunam Brahman or whether they do Upasaka through some other Pratika, like fire or whatever it is, both of them will go through Shuklagati. All of them, both the groups, they will go to Vidyut Loka. Up to Vidyut Loka, they all go. Only direct Saguna Brahma Upasakas will be escorted by Amanava Purusha to Brahma Loka from Vidyut Loka. So all of them reach Vidyut Loka, all right, all Upasakas. But only the direct Saguna Brahma Upasakas, who did not do Upasana through any Pratikam or symbol, they meditated as on Hiranyagarbha as Hiranyagarbha. Only those Upasakas will be directed by the Amanava Purushas to Brahma Loka. And all other secondary or indirect Upasakas, that is the Pratika Alambanas, they will not go to Brahma Loka. They have Shuklagati though, and they are superior to Krishna Gati people. And after Vidyut Loka, they will not go to Brahma Loka, but go to some higher Loka than Swarga Loka. They will not get Krama Mukti. Because only when you go to Brahma Loka, Krama Mukti is possible. They will not go to Brahma Loka. But they will, so because of that, they will not get Krama Mukti. They will have Punarjanma also. And in the second part, the indirect Upasakas, we have to answer the Purvapakshi here. He says, Shruti and Smriti both say that all the Upasakas will go through Shuklagati and all of them will go to Brahma Loka and all will not return to this Loka. So once they go to Brahma Loka, they will all get Krama Mukti from there. They will not come back. And Vyasacharya himself used the expression that all the Upasakas will get Krama Mukti. They will go to Brahma Loka and will get liberation. Further, Vyasacharya says, previously the word all Upasakas was a general rule. Now the exception arguments are coming now. When he said originally all Upasakas, Vyasacharya says, the word all Upasakas was a general rule. And all general rules will have exceptions. So in the Brahma Sutra itself, in the third chapter, third pada, 31st sutra, so there is aniyamadikaranam, niyama, aniyama. Exceptions it talks about. And the first sutra is what? Aniyamaha sarvasam avirodaha shabda anumanabhyam. That is the sutra we already did. We had an elaborate discussion at that time. Aniyamaha. Niyamaha, aniyamaha. Sarvasam avirodaha. Shabda anumanabhyam. Shabda refers to Shruti. And we talk about apavadas, exceptions, that certain upasakas will not get krama mukti. In keeping with that, the word sarva should be taken with restriction. Aniyamaha sarvasam. That sarva should be taken with restriction. The example we give is what? In the Shastra, it is said, Ahimsa Sarva Bhutani. One should not injure any living thing at all. Ahimsa is most important. Samanya Dharma it is. And the very same Shastra talks about Dharma Rakshanartham, to protect Dharma, especially in the Bhagavad Gita scene. Krishna asks Arjuna to kill the Kauravas, fight them. In fact, Swadharma Mapicha Vekshya. Navikampidu marhasi dharmya diyuddha shreyonyate kshatriyasya na vidyate. Krishna says it very clearly. In Bhagavad Gita, the word ahimsa is emphasized in several places by Krishna himself. Ama nitvam adam bitvam ahimsa shandir arjavam acharyo upasanam shaucham stairyam atma vinigraha. Ahimsa again. So he emphasizes ahimsa, and then he himself says, tasmat yudhyasva bharata. Because of that you do yuddham. Therefore, Arjuna, you fight. So how do we then understand this? It is by restricting the meaning of the word sarva. Therefore, the word sarva means all others that are mentioned in the Shastra. In fact, there are certain sacrifices where animal sacrifices are there in yajnas. It is killing only, but they are exceptions. They call it exceptions. That is debatable, but they call it exceptions. They are applicable to upasakas also. Some will go to Brahmaloka and some others will go to other lokas. And if you divide the upasakas into two, there is no dosha at all. If you want to understand it this manner, that is what Vyasacharya says. You divide them in this manner. Then the third part is giving supporting logic or principle or a maxim. It is known as Tatkratunyayaha. This particular thing, supporting logic, is called Tatkratunyayaha, a very important maxim or principle. And this occurs in Chandogya Upanishad in the 3rd chapter, 14th section, 1st mantra, and also in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 4th chapter, 4th section, 5th mantra, and also in Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, 6th mantra. And what is this Tatkratunyayaha? Kratuhu means meditation or dhyana. And Tatkratunyaya says, as a person meditates, so he gets the result. As a person meditates, so he gets the result. Based on the English proverb, we have got the English proverb also similar to that. As a man thinks, so he becomes, and all that. So the thought crystallizes into your future personality. One's own thought crystallizes into one's own future personality. This is called Tatkratu Nyayaha. And the Chandogya Upanishad mantra quoted here is, Sarvam khalu idam brahma tajjalaniti shanta upasita atha khalu kratumayaha purushaha yatha kratuhu asmil loke purusho bhavati tatetaha pretya bhavati sakratum kurvita yatha kratuhu asmil loke purushaha bhavati. Whatever be the thoughts of the person in this janma, asmin loke, tata ita pretya bhavati, so he becomes in the next janma. And the English proverb confines to present janma. Shastric maxim extends to future janma also. And also in the Bhagavad Gita also we have seen this. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam jajatyante kalevaram tam tame vaiti kaunteya sada tadbhava bhavitaha. 8th chapter. Whatever a person seriously thinks at the time of death, that he becomes in the next janma. And we have, for example, Jadabharata, all these stories we have to support this view also. And Vyasacharya says, this Tatkratu Nyaya supports his view. How? Vyasacharya says, direct upasaka alone thinks of Sagunam Brahman. All others think of Alambanam as a symbol. He thinks of Sagunam Brahman, and therefore he will go to Brahmaloka and also get Krama Mukti in Brahmaloka. But the entire Upasakas, what do they think? They do not think of Sagunam Brahman, and they think of the symbol only. Their mind is preoccupied with the symbol. And therefore they are called Atatkratavaha. Tatkratavaha, Atatkratavaha. Atat kratus, saguna brahma chinta rahitaha. These people, they have no thinking about the saguna brahma. They are thinking about the only saligrama. They have not thought of saguna brahman, and therefore they don't deserve brahma loka and do not deserve krama mukti also. This is the third part. Now I will give you the word analysis here. Apratika alambanat nayati iti badarayanaha ubhayata adoshate tatkratuscha. This is the sutra, long sutra. Badarayanaha iti. Badarayana, as I told men earlier, Vyasacharya. Vyasacharya's view is that, Vyasacharya himself writes, understand that. His view is that Nayati. Nayati means this Amanava Purusha. Nayati means leads. Who leads? The Amanava Purusha leads. Apratika Lambanat. Direct Brahma Upasakas, other than indirect Upasakas, to Brahma Loka. So who are doing Upasana? Apratika, without any Pratika. They think directly of Brahma Hiranyagarbha. Ubhayata, this twofold approach, this is valid, we have to supply that. Adoshat, because there is no contradiction. Twofold approach is okay. The twofold approach, as Vyasacharya mentioned just now that we saw. Chaya means moreover. And Tatkratuhu refers to the direct Upasaka, is a Saguna Brahman meditator. He meditates upon Saguna Brahman directly without thinking through any alambanam, any symbol. This is the word meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. Apratika alambana. This I have already explained. The direct meditators of Saguna Brahman. Here, what is the Vigrahavakyam? Pratikam alambanam, yes, yes, aha, pratikalambanaha. Na pratikalambanaha is apratikalambanaha. Na pratikalambana is apratikalambana. So pratikalambana, indirect meditator. Apratikalambana means direct meditator. Without any pratikam, symbol, he meditates. So he is a direct meditator. It is dvitiya vibhakti. So as an object of nayati. And Amanava Purusha is to be supplied in the sutra. Amanava Purusha leads nayati. The direct Upasakas. Subramaloka. Nagati leads or escorts. Then, Iti Badarayanaha is there in the sutra. This is my conclusion, Badarayana's conclusion, Saint Vyasa's conclusion. Ubayata. Ubayata means the twofold approach. Ubayata Bhava. And what do you mean by that, Ubayata? That up to Vidyut Loka, all Upasakas travel. Up to Vidyut Loka. Thereafter, there is bifurcation. Direct Upasaka goes to Brahmaloka. Indirect Upasakas, they are segregated. They don't go to Brahmaloka. And this bifurcation, this Ubayatha Bhavaha, this divided approach, Adoshad, is without contradiction. And what is the contradiction? Purupakshi said what? That Sutra 3.3.31 talks about all Upasakas. The third chapter, and the third pada, 31st sutra, that talks about, we saw, all Upasakas go to Brahmaloka. Here you are dividing into two. Is it not a contradiction? There is this question. And if you ask, we say that the word all refers to Utsargaha. Here the sutra talks about Apavada exception. Therefore, you reinterpret this previous sutra as all Upasakas, except the indirect Upasakas. This is how one should be interpreting that word all, sarva. All Upasakas, except those indirect Upasakas. This is not managing it or anything. We have already got many cases in the Shastras, and you should not, for example, Ahimsa also, you should not hurt anyone. It is a Samanya Dharma, it is a general rule. And then you add, you should not hurt anyone, except for dharma, dharma rakshanartham. You fight the war, you do all that thing. And they include animal sacrifice also into that. Therefore, where is the contradiction? Utsarga apavada rupena, contradiction is resolved. Or sarva pada sankocha rupena, contradiction is resolved. So, adoshat, again is panchami, hetvatte panchami. And therefore, any statement, my statement is valid, that is Vyasacharya's contention. Then the last portion is Tat Kratuhu. Kratuhu means, as I mentioned earlier, Kratuhu means dhyanam, meditation. Tat refers to Hiranyagarbha, Brahmaji. That Sagunam Brahma ityartha here, we can put it, Tat. And Tat Kratuhu refers to Sagunam Brahma Upasaka, it's Bahuvrihi, and Hiranyagarbha, Tat. Tatartasya kratuhu dhyanam yasya saha tat kratuhu. Anyway, so it is a bahubrihi referring to Upasakas. Tasya kratuhu yasya saha tat kratuhu. Here Vyasacharya says, this Upasaka who gets to Brahmaloka, he happens to be the direct Brahman meditator, Saguna Brahman meditator, unlike the symbol meditators. We can call them Pratika Upasakas as symbol meditators. Ayam Upasakaha Tatkratuhu Bhavati. So this Brahmaloka going Upasakas, all those Upasakas going to Brahmaloka, we can put them all, hyphenated all of them, Brahmaloka going Upasakam is direct meditator of Hiranyagarbha. Whereas the symbol meditator, Pratika, that meditator is Atatkratuhu. Tatkratuhu, Atatkratuhu. He thinks of Saligrama only. He will talk about the white line, the black line, how heavy it is, all that thing he talks about, but forget Mahavishnu. He will concentrate on the idol and forget. The idol is a symbol anyway, and forget the Bhagavan. From that, it is clear that Upasyam has become secondary. Upasya means the object of worship, object of upasana, namely Ishwara, that has become secondary. So the focus is on the idol, the symbol. And therefore he is Atatkratuhu and he does not deserve Brahmaloka. Therefore, Tatkratu Nyaya supports my conclusion. He does not, Atatkratuhu, they don't deserve Brahmaloka. Therefore, Tatkratu Nyaya supports my conclusion, is Vyasacharya's contention. So this is the 15th sutra. Now let us go to the last sutra of this Pada 3 of 4th chapter. Apratikalambana Adhikaranam, last sutra. Visheshancha Darshayati, 16th sutra, 3rd Pada, 4th chapter, 536, 3rd running Brahma Sutra, the last Brahma Sutra of this Pada. Now let us give a small general analysis of this sutra. In the previous sutra, Vyasacharya gave a principle that the Pratika Upasakas will not go to Brahmaloka, but they will go to lower lokas, but higher than Swargaloka. They think of Pratikam, symbol, and therefore they don't deserve Brahmaloka. They think of Pratikam only, not Saguna Brahman. Here Vyasacharya gives Shruti support, Veda support also for that from Chandogya Upanishad, 7 chapters from 1 to sections 1 to 14, as I mentioned earlier. It has got several Pratika Upasanas also, I mentioned earlier. And the first one is Nama Brahma Upasana. And the word, you use the word itself as a symbol, Nama, the name, the word itself as a symbol. So in the seventh section, the seventh chapter, first section, fifth mantra. Saha, yo Nama Brahma iti upaste. Yavan namno gatam tatrasya yata kamacharo bhavati yo nama brahmeti upaste asti bhagavaha namno bhuyagiti namno bhava bhuyaha asti viti. All those things are all, this is another mantra. So then this is saha yaha nama brahma iti upaste, those people who meditate upon the name. Then he talks about vak brahma upasana, speech becomes brahman pratikam, so speak as the symbol, speech. Vagvava namno bhuyasi, vagvarugvedam vijnapayati yajurvedam, and all that thing. So vak, the speech, as the pratikam. And again, in the second section, second pada of 7th chapter, saha yo vacham brahmetyupaste, yavad vachoyagatam tatrasya, the same thing about the vagupasana. And then there is a mano sankalpa upasana, that is also given in the third section of 7th chapter. Mano vava vacho boyaha yata vai dve vamaloke dve vakole dva vak dakshav. So all those things talk about mano sankalpa and all thing again as a pratikam. Mana sankalpa and all that thing as pratikam, one does upasana and Saguna Brahman using all these pratikams. So at the end of each pratika upasana, distinct worldly results are also given. In Chandogya, we have given all that. At the end of each upasana, there is upasana palam is given. Distinct worldly results is given. You will go to Sargaloka, this, that, all that. Anna upasana will give good annam, lot of food. Jala upasana will give lot of enough water. So if all are taken as Brahma upasana, all should go to Brahma Loka or Krama Mukti. If they are taken as Saguna Brahma Upasana, Chandogya Upanishad does not talk of Krama Mukti, but depending upon the symbol, different palams are mentioned. Otherwise, you should have talked about Krama Mukti. If all these upasanas, they all refer to the same Saguna Brahma Upasana, Hiranyagarbha Upasana, they go to Brahma Loka and all that thing, Krama Mukti should have talked. But but doesn't talk about karma mukti as the phalam, but it talks about different phalams, going to different lokas. So the very fact different pratika upasanas get different phalams, that indicate that all do not get same brahma loka prapti, and they will not get karma mukti, that is very clear. Now let us see the words analysis of this sutra. Visesham cha darshayati, 16th sutra, third part of fourth chapter, 533rd brahma sutra. Cha means moreover. Darshayati, darshayati means shruti reveals. Visesham, distinct results for pratika upasakam or indirect upasakas. So visesha palam, different results are given. This is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. Visesham refers to different results. Different results means what? Distinct from Brahmaloka and Kramamukti, and they get result other than Brahmaloka and Kramamukti. That is clear by this particular statement, Visesham. And Darshayati. Darshayati, Shruti reveals Chandogya Upanishad 7th chapter, section 1 to 14, as I mentioned, all those various upasanas. Therefore, Amanava Purusha will leave them in Vidyut Loka itself. He will not take them beyond Vidyut Loka. They will go to Swargaloka, Swargadi Loka, Sebo Swargaloka, they will go. But they will not be led to Brahma Loka by the Amanava Purusha. And Cha is to join the Shruti support along with the Nyaya, Tatkartu Nyaya that we gave earlier. So with this, the 16th Sutra is also over. And the 6th Adhikaranam is also over, or the 3rd Pada. 3rd Pada is also over. So 4th chapter, 3rd Pada is also over. Now we have got only one more Pada, last Pada of 4th chapter, and last Pada of Brahma Sutra also. Final Pada. 4th chapter, 4th Pada. Let us take the stock of the situation now. We have come up to this point. Now we are in the 4th chapter of Brahma Sutras, and this talks about Sagunam Brahma Vidya and Nirgunam Brahma Vidya both. Sagunam Brahma Vidya, Nirgunam Brahma Vidya both, and their palam. When the word Vidya is used with the Saguna Brahman, then it is that word Vidya means what? Upasana. When the word Vidya is used in the context of Saguna Brahman, it is called Upasana. Vidya means Upasana. And the word Vidya is used with Nirguna Brahman context, then it is Jnana. Vidya here means Jnana. So if it is a context is Saguna Brahma Upasana, then the word Vidya means Upasana. And when the word, when it is Nirguna Brahma Jnana, that Vidya is in the sense of Nirguna Brahman, then it is Jnana. So the word Vidya is associated with both Nirgunam as also Saguna Brahma. And these are all we know already. I'm just only refreshing. So karma nivritti or freedom from karma. Karma means again bondage, prarabdha. All those things we saw in Pada 1 of this chapter, first Pada. And in the second Pada, we saw the palam of Saguna Brahma Upasakas. What are the various palams he will get? They cannot gain liberation, but they have to leave the body, reach Brahma Loka, called Prapti Iris. And they have to go through Utkranti, Gati, and Prapti. Utkranti means departure. We know all these words. Utkranti means at the time of death, departure. Then Gati, what is the Marga they take? And Prapti, what is the world they attain? And all these three are not there for Nirguna Brahma Jnani. There is no departure, there is no Gati, no Prapti. Again, already is a Jnani. So the first stage of departure of Saguna Brahma Upasaka, that was discussed already. How it takes a dip, for example, in Brahmaloka, in Brahman, and leaves the body, and all those things, they were all, we discussed all of them, we saw all of that. And in the third Pada, we even associated with Sushupti and all that. And in the third Pada, we saw the travel, third Pada of this chapter, fourth chapter, we saw the travel through Shuklagati. And the 13 Devatas, the 13 stations represent 13 Devatas, all that we mentioned. Who take the Upasaka Jiva stage by stage, station by station, including the Amanava Purusha, the messenger, going to Brahmaloka, all that we saw in detail. And we saw the Brahmaloka Prapti also, from Vidyut Loka, how which Upasaka goes where, all that. And we said the Brahman occurring in Shruti is not Nirgunam Brahman, but Sagunam Brahman alone. Chandogya, when they go to all the stages and go to Brahma Loka and all, it's Aguna Brahman only. And Vedanta does not accept a separate Vishnu Loka or Shiva Loka. And both are but alternative names for Brahma Loka only. That is reached by the Upasakas. We also analyze all the Upasakas will not get Krama Mukti also. And some don't reach Brahma Loka. After Vidyut Loka they go, all the Upasakas. From there to go to Brahma Loka, you need a special qualification and escorted by the Amanava Purusha and all that. And some people reach Brahma Loka and return. And some people reach Brahma Loka and get Krama Mukti, do not return also. And these were the topics covered in the third pada of fourth chapter. Now the fourth pada that we are going to enter now, it talks about the Saguna Brahma Vidya Phalam as also Nirguna Brahma Vidya Phalam. So Saguna Brahma Vidya Phalam as well as Nirguna Brahma Vidya Phalam. Even though both have been talked about in the earlier padas, here it is particularly discussed in this pada, fourth pada. And we get some more information in this regard here. Previously, we talked of freedom from bondage, liberation and all that in the form of Nivritti Phalam. All these are all Nivritti Phalam. Freedom from bondage means all bondage, Nivritti. But now it will be seen in the form of Ananda Prapti or Moksha Prapti. Not Nivritti, but Prapti. Ananda Prapti, Moksha Prapti in this Pada. So what are the extraordinary powers enjoyed by the Upasakas will be talked about. And leaving aside the Krama Mukti, what are the extraordinary advantages by those who go to Shiva Loka or Brahma Loka, Vaikuntha Loka, whatever it is. That also will be given here. Satya Sankalpatvam, we talked about Ishvara, Satya Sankalpaha, Satya Kamaha, all that, which belongs to Ishvara will be attained by these Upasakas also. They fall within samsara in the additional information, all those things, because they were all going through that. They are not jnanis yet. So both Saguna Brahma Vidya and Nirguna Brahma Vidya, that is the topic in the fourth pada. So fourth pada has got 22 sutras spread over 7 adhikaranams. There are 7 adhikaranams in this pada and 22 sutras in total. And of these, the first 7 sutras, they deal with Sadyo Muktihi, Nirguna Brahma Vidya Phala. By having Nirguna Brahma Vidya, it is Sadyo Muktihi, Jivan Mukti, right here and now. And the later 15 sutras, the first 7 is this. And the later 15 sutras and the 5 Adhikaranams, they deal with glories enjoyed by the Upasakas going to Brahma Loka. Glories are talked about more than Mukti itself in this particular pada. Vibhutis. This is the split of the fourth pada. Now with this introduction, let us enter into the first adhikaranam of fourth pada, of fourth chapter. Sampat Vibhavadhikaranam, it is called. Sampat Vibhavaha Svena Shabdat. First Stotra, fourth Pada, fourth chapter, 534th running Brahma Sutra. Now let us first look at the general introduction to this Adhikaranam with three sutras. Here, a Chandogya Upanishad mantra that is analyzed, in which Turiya Atma is revealed by Prajapati to Indra, the student. So to Prajapati, two students came. One is Indra, another is Virochana. And to them, Prajapati started to teach Brahma Vidya. And he talked about Turiya Atma. And in this mantra, the Upanishad or the teacher, Prajapati, talks about the emergence of Turiya Atma in the case of a wise person. Emergence of Turiya Atma. We will analyze all these words. We have talked about in detail during the Upanishad lectures. So a wise person gets liberated. So with respect to this statement, an inquiry is undertaken. A wise person gets liberated. So with respect to this statement, an inquiry is undertaken here. So subject matter of this adhikaranam is the analysis of a very, very important statement occurring in Chandogya Upanishad, which talks about the liberation attained here and now. A Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukti is now talked here and now. And it is 8th chapter, 12th section, 3rd mantra. ఏవమేవ ఏషః సంప్రసాదః. ఇట్స్ అన్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ వర్డ్, వి ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు టాక్ అబౌట్ ఇట్. అస్మా శరీరాత్ సముత్థాయ పరం జ్యోతిహి ఉపసంపద్య స్వేన రూపేణ అభినిష్పత్యతే సహ ఉత్తమ పురుషః సహ తత్ర పర్యేతి త్యక్షత్ క్రీడన్ రమమాణః స్త్రీభిర్వా యానైర్వా జ్ఞాతిభిర్వా న ఉపజనకం స్మరణ్ ఇదగం శరీరగం సహ యథా ప్రయోగ్య ఆచరణే యుక్త ఏవమేవ అస్మిన్ శరీరే ప్రాణో యుక్త. ఆల్ దోస్ దిస్ మంత్ర అండ్ ఇన్ దిస్ దర్ ఆర్ సమ్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ వర్డ్స్. ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు మెన్షన్ అబౌట్ దోస్ వర్డ్స్ అండ్ గో త్రూ ద డిస్కషన్ బికాస్ వీ హావ్ అనలైజ్డ్ దిస్ మంత్ర అట్ దట్ టైమ్ ఇన్ ద ఉపనిషద్. All these mantras, when I quote, if people want to know more details about them, please refer to those Upanishad lectures. They are all in the site. All these are there. And this jiva is called samprasadaha. Eva meva yesha samprasadaha. I mentioned this word. Samprasadaha. This jiva is called samprasadaha. He resolves into Brahman during sleep. During sushupti, he resolves into Brahman. And lies calmly during sleep. And this jiva, asmat shariraat samuttaya. That is also, I said, it is asmat, that is the first sentence. Asmat shariraat samuttaya, during the inquiry, comes out of these three shariams. Asmat shariraat, stula shariram, sukhna shariram, karana shariram, he comes out of all these three. And when we say he comes out, sharira means the abhimana tyagaha here. Sharira abhimana means what? Association with the shariram. The body consciousness, I am the body notion, that abhimana tyagaha, that renunciation of that abhimana, that identification of the body. I give up the I notion in the body. I think I am the body. No, I am not the body. I don't look upon sthula shariram as myself, sukshma shariram as myself, or even the karana shariram as myself. For worldly transaction, I say about my address. This refers to Tvampada Artha Vichara. In Tattvamasi, the Tvampada Artha Vichara refers to all these. So for worldly transaction, I say my address, all that thing, my function, my karma, my age, blah, blah, all that. And Paramjyoti Bihim, that talks about the Tatpada Lakshyartha. So Tvampada Artha Vichara is all that thing, Jiva Vichara. And Tatpada Vichara is Paranjyotihi. Paranjyotihi is also in the first line itself it came. Samprasadaha asma charira samuttaya paramjyotihi upasampadya. That paramjyoti refers to this. One upasampadya means merging. So tvam comes out of the body, jiva comes out of the body and unites with tat padartha, the Brahman. So uniting or joining means it is not actual merging. One should be extremely careful here. Joining is not a physical merger at all, but it is understanding, because it is not spatial difference. It is purely caused by ignorance, and the notion of difference is set right cognitively, intellectually, and that is why we say it is only an intellectual knowledge. Nothing happens, no merger, nobody moves. What we need is that what? Because distant is notional alone. We think the distance between Jivatma and Paramatma is only notional. Svena Rupena, he emerges himself in his original form. Svena Rupena. This is the statement. And to give you a little bit background here, Svena Rupena is what we have to understand. All these words, they are very important words. We spend a lot of time during Chandogya. In the Chandogya 8th chapter, actually the first six sections, they deal with Brahma Upasana Dahara Vidya. They talk about Dahara Vidya. And first six sections deal with Saguna Brahma Upasana. And then Nirguna Brahma Jnanam is presented as Chatushpad Brahman, which is very similar to the Mandukya Upanishad Chatushpad. And here the teacher says, Brahmaji. The teacher is Brahmaji here. In Brahma Loka, teacher is Brahmaji, Chaturmukha Brahma, Pajapati. And there, he has two students here. And when you actually, this is another small incidental point. When you teach Vedanta, normally you get only less students. And we should remember Brahmaji also. He had only two students himself. And Krishna had only one student. So the students are Virochana from the Asuras and Indra from the Devas for Prajapati. And Virochana, he attends the very first class and he disappears. Afterwards, he never showed up. Virochana got in the first class itself. So in the seventh section, the students are introduced. That is Indra and Virochana. And in the eighth and ninth section, Vishwa. Vishwa means the Virat, Virat Rupam. And in the 10th section, Taijasa. Taijasa is Hiranyagarbha. And in the 12th section, Pragya. Vishwa, Virat, Taijasa, Hiranyagarbha, Pragya, Ishwara, all these names should be all very familiar to us. They are all fundamental Satobodha. And Vishwa is Chaitanyam associated with the Surasidam. Just only refresher I'm giving. Vishwa, the term Vishwa represents the Chaitanyam associated with the Stula Shariram grass body. Taijasa is the Chaitanyam associated with the Sukshma Shariram subtle body. And Prajna is the Chaitanyam associated with the Karna Shariram, Ishwara. So the student Indra says, I am not satisfied with that aham. And you say aham, aham, aham. I am not satisfied with that aham because each one has problem. Aham is whether Vishwa, Hiranyagarbha, Taijasa, or Prajna, what is that? Stula Shariram has got its own problem. If I associate aham with Stula Shariram grass body, it has its own problem, right? From teeth ache, everything it gets. And Sukshma Shariram also has its own problems. Mind is part of Sukshma Shariram. Always there is problem. And Karna Shariram has got its own problem also. And Indra states, I neither know the world nor I know myself. After learning all these, what stage I am in? I don't know the world also. I don't know about myself also. In Sushupti, there is total destruction of the whole thing. Everything dissolves. So I was there in Sushupti after waking up in memory. After waking up, I understood I was in Sushupti. And in Sushupti, I don't know myself. A sleeper is not aware of his own existence. Self-destruction is the dosha of prajna. The self-destruction, he doesn't know. When Indra expresses his dissatisfaction, Prajapati says, I shall teach the fourth pada. So these three padas, that is what? Vishwa, Taijasa, Prajna, all these were taught. And then Indra said he is not satisfied. Virochana was happy, he left. And Indra said he is not happy, he is not satisfied. So he gave all these answers. And then Prajapati said, I will now teach you the fourth pada, the Turiya pada. And for each pada, what is the condition? He has to do Guru Seva. He has to be in the Gurukulam. Who? Indra. Indra is the god of all the devas. And he is supposed to be in the Gurukulam of Prajapati for learning each one of these padas. First pada, he has to do Gurukulavasa for 32 years. And then after 96 years, that is three times, for Sukshma Sharira, another one, and then Karna Sharira, another one. So three times 32, 96 years. And after 101 years, Chaturtha Pada is talked about. After that, he is again started serving him for another 32 years, all that thing. And then the Chaturtha Pada, the Turiya Pada was talked about. And this is what is going to be analyzed here in the sutra. So even for Indra and all these things, Gurukulavasam is like that, it's must. And Guru Seva is must. And then try to learn anything from the Guru is an extremely difficult thing. Unless Guru will not give it, unless he knows that the student deserves to know, this, to gain this knowledge. All these 3 years and all are essentially to assess, for the Guru to assess the qualification of the student and his ability and also whether he deserves this knowledge or not. You know, that is an aside topic. So this is what is going to be analyzed here. And what is the controversy in this mantra now? The word for new status is Agantuka Dharma. It is new status. So the Siddhanti, actually the Vedantins, they are going to refute this idea and say Mukti is not a new status acquired by Jiva. These are all very, very interesting concepts. Mukti is not a new status acquired by the Jiva. And in fact, Jiva does not acquire any new status at the time of liberation. At the time of moksha, at the time of liberation, he does not acquire any new status. We say that it is swabhavikam of the Jiva. It is not any new thing acquired. It is swabhavikam, it is own nature. we should know why should Purvapakshi holds this way view. That also we should know. He gives several arguments because to gain a status, he gives several arguments. And the first one is a logical argument he gives. He's also understand, he's a scholar. He says, you yourself talk about moksha sadhanani. Lot of sadhanas a person has to go through to gain moksha, starting from karma yoga, then shravana yoga, manana yoga, nididhyasana yoga, all that you have to go through. And from that, it means what? It is clear that moksha is the result of these sadhanas. So many sadhanas you have to go through. And that means what? It is a consequence of all the sadhanas. And sadhyam or palam of all the sadhanas. So you have to do all these sadhanas and then you gain moksha. So there's a sadhyam, there's a palam. So that is the palam of all the sadhanas. So the palam, the word palam or sadhyam, it is a new status only acquired after sadhana. You went through all these sadhanas and you got that palam. It's a new status only. So before sadhana, it did not exist. During sadhana, it did not exist. And after completion of the sadhana, you get the new status like swarga and all that. Swarga is a new status achieved after some karma. Therefore, he makes an anumanam. Moksha is a new status only acquired being the result of the sadhana like heaven and all that. So in mukti, jiva must attain a higher status. That is his conclusion. So even some people describe mukta. Mukta is a higher status of consciousness only, mukti. That means we belong to the lower state of consciousness now. So we gain mukti and gain higher state of consciousness. This is the argument of whom? Purvapakshi. And the second argument he gives is, moksha has to be necessarily a new status because if there is no status at any level, in moksha there will be no difference between bandha and moksha. If there is no status difference, bandha and moksha, there is no difference at all. There will be no difference between previous status and after sadhana, the new status. So after sadhana also, old status continues. And then there will be no status-wise difference. Between bandha and mukta, there is no difference. Then who will do any sadhana at all? This is his logical contradiction. And he gives a third argument also, the Purvapakshi. Based on the Chandogya Upanishad mantra, that we read earlier, and that says, Yeshaha samprasadaha asma sharirat samuttaya. I read this sentence. Jiva comes out of the body and it merges with Brahman at the time of liberation and emerges out as mukta swarupaha. That's what it says. So it becomes the liberated soul. Then Purvapakshi underlines the verb used there, the emerges out. As liberated person. He emerges out as a liberated person. So the bound person, as a result of the sadhana, becomes a liberated person. It means utpadyate. That is, a birth is talked about. That is, fresh emergence is talked about. And it can be talked only when jiva takes a newer status. Because of this, mukti means a new status is his conclusion. Purvapakshi's conclusion. Therefore, the student looks for new status, wishing to get liberated. By getting liberation, I get some new status. This is held by the Purvapakshi and is a natural orientation of every seeker. We don't have to think Purvapakshi does. All seekers, they want to gain some status by doing this sadhana. He looks for new status. So we always look for some kind of newer status. If teacher insists nothing new will come, the student may not come to the class next day. Therefore, students also instinctively look for extraordinary events that transforms the baddha I into mukta I. That is why mysticism is always appealing to people. Jiva wants some transformation and clear demarcation between the bandha state and the mukta state. And this appeals to every seeker of liberation also. And what happens before and after? So before attending the classes and after attending the classes, everyone wants to know. I attended the classes for so many years. What I got? This is Purvapakshi's question. So this is Siddhanta we are saying, if all the if at all there is any transformation, it is only a cognitive transformation in terms of understanding or assessment. This is our general introduction to this adhikaranam. It's very important adhikaranam. Now we will do the general analysis of the sutra. This mantra is thoroughly analyzed by Shankaracharya in Brahma Sutra. Actually, this concept in the first chapter, third pada, 19th sutra, with regard to the attitude to moksha. So, jnadikaranam, jnota eva. And he gives some important classifications or clarifications also there. The meaning of the mantra is what? Jiva Atma, the conscious principle, emerging out of the body. Here, Shankaracharya points out the emergence of creation from the body cannot be a physical event. Consciousness cannot come out of the body and all that. So the reason being, Sukshma Shariram can come out of the body at the time of death. And that is what is happening. At the time of death, I told you already the bundle. Sukshma Shariram, Karna Shariram, and the Chaitanyam, all those things go together. That's the bundle. Karna Shariram coming out is also possible at the time of the death. Chidabhasa, reflected consciousness, that also comes out. When the Sukshma Shariram comes out. And Sukshma Shariram also comes out. So now we talk of the Sakshi Chaitanyam, which is already all-pervading. It cannot come out of anything. It is all-pervading. Therefore, how can we talk about I, the Sakshi Chaitanyam, coming out of the body? And Shankaracharya argues, since the direct meaning cannot be taken, we have to take the implied meaning. When Vachyartha cannot be taken, you have to take the Lakshyartha. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, Samuttanam in the Chandragya Upanishad Mantra, Samuttaya. He talks about that word. It means only giving up the identification, the intellectual conclusion that I am not the body. The body identification, body consciousness should go away. I am physical body, I am subtle body, I am Karna Shariram, all those confusion. I am Vishwa, Taijasa, Pragya, and even the idea that I am within the body is wrong, because all-pervading consciousness cannot be enclosed in the body, as all-pervading space cannot be contained in any part space. I am located in the body, etc., are all misconceptions. And the Sankhya philosopher says, Atma is an individual, different from the other Atma. He accepts plurality. And therefore, Shankaracharya says, Samuttanam. That means dropping of the conclusion that I am Vishwam, Taijasam, or Pragya. And any conclusion we have is what? At the intellectual level, we have to drop all of them. It is arriving at Lakshyartha of the word Aham. What is it implies? Then the mantra says, Upasampadyam, which means merging. Paranjyodihi, Parambrahma, Paranjyodihi, Paranjyama, Sarvagata Chaitanyam. And it is the Tatpada Lakshyartha in Tattvamasi, Aikya Prapti it is. It is again removing the notion of the division between me and the Parambrahma. And why do we take this meaning? And why not take the actual meaning of merger, physical merger? For example, Ganga originates in the Himalayas and it merges into ocean. And why cannot we take about at a particular time of mystic experience, it merges with the Brahman? Why cannot we take this physical merger? I and the Sakshi Chaitanyam, this is Sakshi is all pervading. Not after Jnanam, but even before all pervading. I and the Sakshi Chaitanyam, I the consciousness and Sakshi Chaitanyam is all pervading, not after Jnanam, but even before. I and Sakshi both are one. So merger is not an event. It is dropping the intellectual notion of difference. And that I am different from Paramatma. Paramatma is different, I am different. It means Tatpada Lakshyarthena Aikyam Praptaye. When I thought I am separate, Jivatma and Paramatma is separate. I had one strong misconception. I thought Paramatma is Mukta and I am Baddha. That's what I was thinking. And when I recognized Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam, that ever free Paramatma is myself, then I drop the notion that I am a Baddha Purushaha. I am not free is a notion, it is an Adhyasa. That Adhyasa, that Bandha, the superimposed bondage, that is dropped. Previously, I was the same Chaitanyam with the superimposed bondage. and now I am the same Chaitanyam with no superimposition of bondage. Adhyastha samsara was there before and it is absent now. When we did Adhyasa Bhasha, we mentioned all that in the beginning. And what is the difference between the rope superimposed snake and the rope non-superimposed snake? Previously also rope was there, and when I noticed the snake, and now also the rope is there as it is with the no superimposition of the snake. There is no difference at all in the rope. But what the difference is? My wisdom to see the rope as rope and not rope as snake. This is called knowledge. So you have not added or removed any attribute from the rope or snake. It is not removal of anything. The removal of imaginary snake cannot bring any change. And hence there is no change in the rope. And if at all there is any difference, it is superficial. Rope with imaginary snake is previous condition. And rope without imaginary snake is knowledge now. So the snake less rope, imaginary snake. The rope without superimposed snake is the phalam of knowledge. We put it all in different words. So the difference before the knowledge was different. And the difference is what? Before the knowledge, this was different. Now it is different. It was kalpita sarpa sahita rajjuho. Is previous. Rajju is rope. Is previous one. Now the rope with imaginary snake is previous condition. Rope without imaginary snake is the present condition. And Shankaracharya calls this as liberation. Previously with, I will take only a couple of minutes and finish this particular discussion. So previously with imaginary snake, he was sweating. He was afraid. And he was about to even call all these various, you know, agencies to catch the snake. It disturbed him. After the knowledge, that disturbance is not there. And an imaginary snake is gone. Here, I was a mukta before also and after the knowledge also. Both time also, I was a mukta. Before knowledge, mukta di turiya had superimposed stula sharira abhimanam, superimposed sukshma sharira abhimanam, and karana sharira abhimanam. Association. And therefore, he was not called turiya. Now, a new name is given, that is muktaha. Only a new name, not a new status. All that just only differentiate. All the abhimana is gone. Turiyam with imaginary problem one is Vishwa. Imaginary problem two is Taijasa. Imaginary problem three is Prajna. Kalpita Vishwatvam, Kalpita Taijasatvam, and Kalpita Prajnatvam. They all go on gaining knowledge. Difference is imaginary notion is dropped. Mukti is manifestation of original nature. Owning up the original nature. I cannot even use the word manifestation. So consequence of dropping the false notion is called liberation. Best example is, normally they give the example in Shastra as Karna's example, Karna's the Pandavas. Until Kunti revealed that he is her own son, was the original nature of Karna, but because of a particular situation or prarabdha, a charioteer brought him up. And in front of society, he was called the son of a charioteer. So even before also, he was son of Kunti only. And even though it was an imaginary notion, the inferiority complex was a real problem for him as a charioteer's son, caused by a simple notion, I am not a Kshatriya. In one encounter, he tells Arjuna, he cannot accept that, all that. At a particular time when Kunti said, you are Kshatriya, Karna did not get any new status in that process. New birth has not come up. Everything remained the same. Only he said, yes, now that is all. He owned it up. Otherwise, there was no change at all. Intellectual transformation is silent and invisible. There was no longer no change in Karna and only dropping of the superimposed status that he is born of a charioteer family. That was first he was strange thing that gave enough problem and that was dropped. So Tattvamasi will give only a transformation that I am neither Vishwa, nor Taijasa, nor Prajna, I am the Parambrahma. This Shankaracharya writes in the Brahma Sutra Bhashyam of 1.3.19. Utkranti Dikaranam, he has written this. And this is the general analysis of this sutra. That is, moksha is not a new status, but comes to light or manifestation of original status, after dropping the superimposed notion. Now, what is the proof of the new status that is not acquired? What is the proof for that? What is the basis for Vyasacharya's conclusion? When there is a clear verb, how to say that new status has not come? He says, emerges, he says. For this Vyasacharya, he says, read the mantra again, and we will read the mantra again in the next class. Yo Veda Dosvara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakatilina Seya Parasa Maheshwaraha Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Sri Krishna Arpanamastu.